It's a very special schus to be here. To learn Torah together, Le'ili Nishmas, Gittel Mindel Bas Avram. From what I understand, was someone very special to a lot of people in this room. And their first yard site is right around this time. Perm. Oh, Perm. Mamish Perm. Mamish Perm. Bezus Hashem, all the Torah should be a big schus for a neshama, and she should continue to be davening on our behalf till we're zayich to be reunited with Tchias Amesim, the car of Mamish, Bezus Hashem. You know, tonight is Hey Adar. Hey Adar is a couple days before Zayin Adar. Zayin Adar, we all know, is the yard site of Moshe Rabbeinu. And when Moshe Rabbeinu dies, the pasuk says, "Ve'asef elamecha kasher meis Aaron achicha." That he was nifter, similar kasher meis Aaron achicha, like your brother Aaron passed away. Rashi explains, "Ba'osa misa sher isa v'chemda osa v'chamadita osa." That same misa, that death that you saw. And you desired. That Moshe Rabbeinu desired the death of Aaron. He goes on to explain that Moshe, I don't have to read it inside, it's in Parshas Vezos Abracha, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Nun, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when Aaron passed away, so basically he tells Aaron, he undresses Aaron from his big day kahuna, and he dresses his son in front of him, Elazar, to be the next Kohen Gadol, and he tells him to lie down. He says, "Ashrei mi shemeis b'misazu." Praiseworthy is someone who dies such a death. What was it about the death of Aaron? What was it about the death of Aaron that Moshe so much so desired? So some explain it seems like a very peaceful death. It was a death, a misa shel neshika, that Aaron didn't suffer, Aaron wasn't sick. But I want to suggest perhaps as follows. Aaron was zoche, that when he left the world, he didn't just leave the world, but he left over his beautiful children, and he was zoche to see his children mamish take his place. He saw his son Elazar take over as the Kohen Gadol, and he could leave with the peace of mind knowing that his children were following in his footsteps. And that's so important, not just a nachas, obviously, for Aaron, but it's more than that, because the MS is, when we're in this world, we're doing and we're trying to be mekayim Torah mitzvos, and then we go to the next world, the Olam Shel Schar, the world of reward. Whatever we've achieved in this world, so we'll gain that and enjoy the pleasures of the next world. And it's over. There's no more ability really to gain more, but that's not really so. See, if you leave over children and you leave over grandchildren that continue to follow in your footsteps and are Mekayim Torah Mitzvos in the way that you've taught them, so every time you have a daughter who's davening with Kavana because you instilled that within her, and grandchildren that saw the same. So you don't just leave this world, you're still gaining the schusim of this world while you're in the Olam Emes. And there's no question, that's so much what Moshe Rabbeinu desired in Aaron. And Moshe Rabbeinu, even though his own children, we don't know, took over for him in the same way that Aaron's did, but Moshe Rabbeinu was the Rebbe of all of Klal Yisrael, and Rebbe had a Talmud Yehoshua that took over for him. Moshe Rabbeinu had a Talmud Yehoshua, and therefore, he also died such a death. But here tonight, when talking about Gittel Mindel Bas Avram on a Yartzeit, I personally didn't have the schus to know her, but I've read about her and heard about her, but I know her daughter and her grandchildren, who are unquestionably following in her footsteps. Unquestionably, she's up in Shemayim gaining such nachas. And more than nachas, through the mitzvos, and through the davening, and through the midos tovos, and all that has been followed, she's continuing to grow in the next world. And Bez Hashem Yitzbarach, all the Torah tonight is L'ilin Ishmasa, and therefore all this Torah that we're all learning together is also a chus for neshama. She be zoichet to be le'elo le'elo until we're zoichet to Mashiach Zedkeinu with Tchias Amesim b'karav mamish. So we're preparing for Purim. Bez Hashem, very, very soon. We're very excited. And the Gemara tells us in Megillah, Daf Yedayin, Amad Aleph, HaKorei Es HaMegillah LeMafreya Lo Yotza. Literally, that means if you read the Megillah out of order, you read it a little bit backwards, you're not Yotze, you can't fulfill the Megillah that way. If you started, let's say, from Perek Tes, and then you went to Ches, and then Zayin, and you... Even if you read every single word, you're not Yotze the Megillah. That's a simple pshat of HaKorei Es HaMegillah LeMafreya Lo Yotza. But the word LeMafreya can mean from the Shoresh of Piraon. LeMafreya, Pei Reish Ayin, could also mean Piraon. The Minchas Elazar, the Minkacher Rebbe, explains, what does Piraon mean? Piraon means to pay back. You pay a payment, a Piraon. They owe somebody something, and you pay it up. That's what a Piraon is. HaKorei Es HaMegillah LeMafreya, if you read the Megillah as a payback, that you feel that it's a chiyuv, it's an obligation. The Rabbeinu Shlom tells us we have to be Mekayim, we have to keep Purim, and we have to do this mitzvah, and we have to show up and hear the Megillah at night, and hear the Megillah in the morning, and we go because we have to. But we do it only as that piron, only to pay back, only as that chov, as that obligation. Lo yatzah, you're not yotze. Meaning the Rabbeinu Shlom wants, specifically by Purim, that there should be hislavus, there should be a passion, there should be excitement, there should be mishanech nazad demar b'mesimcha. We should be so excited, as so many of us are, to go to the Megillah and to hear the Megillah. And not just at night because it's so new and fresh. The next morning also, to be mekayim a mitzvah bezrizus, with a zeal, with an excitement. Because if it's only as a piron, lo yatza, that's not what the Rabbeinu Shlom wants. Obviously, Purim's a little bit of an easier time to feel this. We're all besimcha on Purim. It's an exciting yantav. It's fun yantav. But to really connect to the Megillah and to the story of Purim, we have to understand what we're really celebrating. We have to understand what we should be besimcha about. We have to understand what the day is. And tap into the kochos of the day. The Michta of Eliyahu, or of Eliyahu Dessler, tells us that whenever we go through a yantav, we're not merely commemorating the past. We're not merely remembering what happened once ago. But there's a reason Purim happened on Yudalad Adar. Purim happened on Yudalad Adar because on Yudalad Adar, on the 14th day of Adar, there are kolchos in the air. There are this shefa, this influence. And that influence, therefore, that's why Purim had to happen then. But that same koach, that same shefa, is also Yudalad Adar of Tav Shin Ayin Zayin, is also of this year, in about a week and in a few days. And whatever was tapped into then and brought such ke'ulans, like Huta Maisa, Eira, V'simcha, V'sasa Mikar, for us it could be again. You know, Baruch Hashem, we're not sitting here today with the threat of a Haman wanting to wipe us out, but Klal Yisrael is much saras. And many of us in the room, on our own personal levels, whatever it is that we're struggling with, have our own gullus. And Purim can be. It's not just a remembrance of the past. Purim can be and should be another geula, another redemption, another time to feel alive with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and elevate our simcha to a different level than it was. So how so? What is it all about? So obviously, Purim's clearly a time when we're defeating Amalek, defeating Haman, who is a descendant of Amalek. And we defeated Haman then, and we're going to defeat Haman again. That's why it is, as we all know, the Shabbos before Purim, we read Parsha Zachar. Zachar is a mitzvah to remind us to wipe out Amalek. We have to, and right, all us women in this room who may not generally always go to make sure to go to shul, and there's a lot going on, and there's other achrayas, other responsibilities. Parsha Zachar, we're all there. Parsha Zachar, no matter what, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, and we're all there. Happens to be a machlokas with whether women are mechuyev in the same way. We're not going to get into that right now. It's a beautiful thing to do, and we're all there. And we have the reading in the regular davening, and the reading after shul, and the reading after the kiddush, and the reading after the early mincha. And no matter what, we're all going to have Parsha Zachar. Now, you could also listen to a kitzetze, but don't tell anybody that, you know. Lemaisa, you have to be by Parsha Zachar. And we're going to read about wiping out Amalek. You ever met Amalek? You ever met Amalek? You know who Amalek is? We're going to have to remember. It's so important to Kol HaTorah all year long. All year long. We go and we hear the Torah being laned in Shul. We read the entire Torah, but the most important is one, these few psukim at the end of Kisetze, Parashas Zachar, to remember to destroy, to wipe out Amalek. And therefore what? Don't we think there are more applicable parts of the Torah than that? Who's Amalek? Ahmadinejad? I mean, maybe. We're going to go wipe him out. Maybe we should. Lemaisa, what does it mean to us? Obviously, Amalek is a culture, is a philosophy. And there's Amalek that's here in the air. And Haman was a descendant of Amalek, and Haman encompassed whatever it was that Amalek stood for. And that's what we need to get rid of, and that's what we need to defeat, and that's what Purim's all about. And when we defeat that, we'll find the Simcha of Purim. So what is that? So let's talk about Haman for a moment. How do we understand what the essence of Haman? Yeah, we know Haman physically wanted to destroy us. What's the koyach of Haman? What's the strength of Haman? Who was Haman? Who's the Haman of our door? Who's the Haman within us that we're trying to get rid of? So if you want to really understand somebody, sometimes you have to look at their names. Some of us have spoken about this before, how within our name is found the essence of who we really are. Every one of our names that was given to us by our parents was given mamish beruach hakodesh. There was divine inspiration when our name was given to us. There was a deep understanding of what name was needed for each and every one of us. And there are kolchos, there are abilities that are found within our mahos, our essence is found within our name. Sometimes we understand that and it's very clear, sometimes it's a little deep. So it's very important. I've said this over before. I've had many tzaddikim have told me to make sure to call my talmidim, call my talmidot, those who know, call my own children, obviously, by their names, by their Hebrew names, and by all of their Hebrew names. Even if I don't always do it, at least at times, because when you hear that name, it pulls out that koach. It gets you in touch with those abilities within you, those character traits that are found within your name. So if we want to understand Haman, we have to look at his name. Now, what is Haman? So we know his name, Haman. What does that mean? Anyone know what that means? I'm not sure what that means. I don't know if there is a meaning, some Persian. But the Torah tells us what Haman means. There's a Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin, daf kuf lamid tes amibayz. And it says, Haman minatorah minayim. Haman minatorah minayim. Where do we find the source of Haman in the Torah? Because we're all, everything in this world is sourced in the Torah. Histakel barayis ubarayam. God look at the Torah. You know it? Bereish is correct. Where? By Adam, you're good, you're saying well. You're getting there, everybody's very close. So the Torah, right? The Torah is the blueprint of the world. Everything that ever occurs is found within the Torah. That's why the more Torah we learn, the more we connect to Torah, the more we're going to understand ourselves, the more we're going to understand this world. What's happening right here is somewhere in the Torah. And that's why we go to tzaddikim, we ask them not just halachic questions, we'll ask them advice in life. Because they understand this world, because they learn the Torah, and the Torah is the blueprint of the entire world. So the Gemara says that Haman min haTorah minayim. Where do you find Haman? Hamin haEitz. Hamin haEitz. Hamin haEitz. From the tree, referring to the Eitz Hadas. Hamin, even though the vowelization is different, the vowels are different, but ultimately it's the same letters. Haman. Hamin haEitz. I mean, the source of Haman is the Eitz Hadas. The Eitz Hadas, that sin that we're struggling and we're suffering from until today. That Adam HaRishon was sent out of Gan Eden forever. That we're still trying to reconcile and fix and be metaken. That's the source of Haman, Hamin Eitz. So if we deeply understand the chait of the Eitz Hadas, we'll understand a little bit of the philosophy of Haman and the philosophy of Amalek. And what we're trying to destroy, and how we can find simcha in our lives always. So, what was the Eitz Hadas? So, there are different ways to go about this. I read recently again a Torah of the Bnei Yisachar. It's different in the Sefer Derech Pekudecha. So, he says as follows. He says, what the sin of the Eitz Hadas was, that Adam HaRishon, he wanted to understand everything in this world. We call it the Eitz Hadas. What's Eitz Hadas mean? The tree of knowledge. Oh, Adam HaRishon knew already, and it was very clear what was right and wrong. He knew what he was supposed to do and not supposed to do, but he didn't have a deep grasp. He didn't have an understanding of everything in this world, a depth in why this is right, why this is wrong. And his eating from the Eitz Hadas was a a certain control that he wanted in having a understanding, a havana, of everything that is in this world, everything that's right, everything that's wrong, everything that occurs. And that's not the avoda of any of us. You see, that was the chet of the Eitz Hadas. Because true amuna, true belief, to be a ben Torah, to be a bas Torah, to be a son of the Rabbeinu Shalom, a daughter of the Rabbeinu Shalom, means that I have such amuna bitachon, I have such trust that I deeply believe, and even when I don't understand, I believe. Because I know it's emes. The ultimate understanding of his amuna is I understand that I don't always understand. But there's a Rabbeinu Shalom that runs the world. And the Rabbeinu Shalom knows what's best for me, much greater than I know what's best for me. And if I have Torah mitzvahs, and I have what I'm supposed to do, what I'm not supposed to do, and the Rabbeinu Shalom created me, gave me those, that guidelines of life, that's what's best for me. And that's what's best for me to find Simchas HaChaim. And if anything occurs in this world, I have a deep belief that the Rabbeinu Shalom is running the world, and that also is best for the world. And sometimes I do understand, and yes, it's nice, and there are Tamei HaMitzvos to delve into and understand and to connect to, and if I do, great, but when I don't, it's just as good. And when I come to that understanding, there's a certain simcha of life that's in a different level. Because there's no more suffix. There's no more doubt. It's all good. Because at Kol Ma'adav Rachman Olatav Avid, everything Hashem does is really good. Adam Arishan said, I accept God. He's my Rabbeinu Shalom. He's one of, but I want to understand more. I don't understand enough. I'll do it if I understand. If it, Chet Eitz Hadas, he's thrown out of Gan Eden. Amalek, Haman, comes from that. Amalek comes to say, you should have a little suffix in your life, a little doubt in your life. Whenever we have doubt, that's when we have sadness. That's when we're down and out. When I'm sure, everything's good. Even if it's something, if I'm struggling with something and I'm not so clear, but when I make a decision, I know it's what I'm going to do, even if it's not easy, I'm okay. We're most down and we're most depressed and sad and whatever the state is when we're unsure, when there's doubt in our life. And Amalek comes and instills that within us and takes away our simcha, takes away our joy, takes away our happiness. That's why Amalek is exactly Gematria 240, is exactly Gematria Suffolk, exactly Gematria the numerical value of doubt. That's what Amalek brings into our life. And that's what Haman brought into the world. And that's why Haman, who did Haman come from? Haman came from King Agag, the king of Amalek. He was a descendant of Agag. So Mordechai was a descendant of Shaul. Shaul was supposed to kill Agag and kill out Amalek, and this never would have happened. Shaul messed up, and therefore Mordechai, his descendant, comes and gains kapara by destroying Haman, who's the descendant of Agag. But what did Shaul do that was so wrong? You know what he did? If you look in the Gemara, it's a Gemara in Yuma, Daf Chaf Peis, Amabez, Shaul made a kal v'chomer. He used his own intellect to say, he made a whole calculation and decided it's okay to leave Agag alive. God said, kill Agag! God said this is what you're supposed to do, but he didn't understand it. Because according to his calculation, it made no sense to kill the children and kill the animals. He didn't understand it. And he left it all and let it be because his cheshbon, his mindset, his human mind couldn't understand. And he went and left Amalek to be in this world. And he did wrong. He couldn't put the will of God over his own will. Then that's exactly what Adam Rishon did by the Chet of Eitz Hadas. And that creates Amalek, which is all suffix, which is all doubt. We need to completely be mevatel our das to the das of Hashem. And when we do that, when we're willing to do that, even though it's hard, it's sometimes difficult, that's when we'll find the greatest simcha, the irony of it all. We think we need to understand everything to be besimcha, but let's be real, we're never going to understand everything. So if we want to be besimcha, it has to be, I'm completely mevatel to the understanding of the Rabbeinu Shalom. You know, how do we defeat Amalek? Who defeats Amalek? We fight right after we come out of Mitzrayim. Right after we come out of Mitzrayim, Amalek comes and starts fighting with us. It's crazy to think that they were able to do that after all the miracles in Mitzrayim. And we all have this image in our heads. We were taught this as young school children. How do we defeat Amalek? So Moshe Rabbeinu does what? What is Moshe Rabbeinu doing the whole time? He raises his hands over his head. He raises his hand over his head. It's a little bit strange. You ever think about it? Like, what that means? What is that all about? He's raising his hands over his head. Okay, so Chazal tell us the idea was when he raised his hands over his head, the Yidden, the Jews that were fighting, saw this and they realized, I have to think about the Rabbono Shalom, and realized that the Rabbono Shalom's in control, and when they had Amunah B'tochen Hashem, that's when they were Zochet to defeat Amalek. That's one derech. I once saw from the Sfas Emes, the Ger Rebbe, an unbelievable idea. So Hashem says, you know what the symbol, the simon of putting one's hands over your head? Our hands represents action, represents what we do in this world. Our head is our mind, is our intellect. When I put my hands over my head, what I'm really saying is, I'm going to act even above my own understanding. I'm going to act even above how I think. I'm going to act because the Rabbono Shalom tells me do, I'm going to do. And if I understand it, great. And if I don't, it doesn't matter. Because it's the Rabbono Shalom's world and he knows better. And that's when we'll find the greatest simcha. You know, Eliza sent me a write-up that I think one of her cousins wrote about her grandmother, about Gittel Mindel. And I read through it the other day. It was so beautiful, so special. Just send it out for everyone to read. And there's one image that I can't get out of my head. There's one image that I just can't get out of my head. That her cousin wrote that every night, and I'm just picturing it, I've been picturing it ever since for the last few days, that your grandmother, she would, at the end of the day, she'd be standing in her nightgown, ready to go to sleep, and she'd stop by the mezuzah, and mamish just dive into the Rabbono Shalom and cry, mamish every night, just stop by the mezuzah, and cry tears of tefillah to the Rabbono Shalom every single night before she'd go to sleep. Mamish, such a beautiful image, I just can't get out of my head. But I've been thinking about it. You know, why by the mezuzah? What were those tefillos? Why was she stopping by the mezuzah? What does the mezuzah even represent? So first of all, it's clear. The mezuzah says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The mezuzah is that understanding that Hashem is everything. And even when I'm going through difficulties, I don't know why they're happening. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all you. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And that's why she was davening by the mezuzah. Halavai, we should appreciate the mezuzah more. We walk through rooms and appreciate the mezuzah. I don't know if I told the story the other week. I remember with the chaver, but I was recently told the story a few months ago. Someone I'm very close to, and unfortunately years ago, for whatever reason, doesn't matter now, but was in jail for a while. And he was in jail. And at one point, for whatever reason, for a few months, he wasn't allowed to call home at all. He didn't even speak to his wife and to his children. And there was a rabbi of the jail, and came to visit him, and asked him if he could do anything for him. Could he bring him some svarim, some siddurim, whatever it was, whatever he could do to make his life a little bit easier while he was in jail. And this individual said to the rabbi, you know, Rabbi, I haven't spoken to my wife in 2 months or 3 months, whatever it was. If you could please help me out, can you please, whatever reason, they took away that privilege. And the rabbi was cheshbening, he says, you know what, next week on this particular day, he knew people wouldn't be around. With great threat to his own position, he snuck him into his, he said, come to my office and I'll let you use my phone and you can call your wife and call your children. And this man told him, he walked into the office and the rabbi says to him, you missed something. And the man says, what do you mean? He says, you didn't kiss the mezuzah. And this man, he looks at the mezuzah, he puts his hand on the mezuzah, and mamish for 10 minutes, he just starts bawling. He really hasn't seen a mezuzah in 3 months. And just stands there with his hand on it, bawling for 10 minutes. We have to appreciate mamish mezuzahs in our house. That we have mezuzahs, we walk into every room, there's a mezuzah, something special. And I think that's the idea, that every time we walk into any room, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that's what your grandmother understood. That she's standing by the mezuzah, davening to Hashem. When I daven to Hashem and I'm by the mezuzah, it's all good. And that's why also I was thinking about it, maybe, perhaps, you know, when there's something going wrong in our lives, obviously we daven, obviously, but what's one of the first things a lot of us do? We have to get the mezuzahs checked. like mamish, someone's dealing a parnasa issue, must be it's the mezuzahs. Someone lo aleinu say it must be it's the mezuzahs. And MS, we do it. And how often we find a little thing here, a little thing there, the mezuzah. You ever think about it? Mamish so crazy. What is that all about? It's the mezuzahs run our lives. The MS says yes, because mezuzah represents Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We understand that. It doesn't matter, it doesn't make sense. Even that the whole concept doesn't make any sense, but MS is we believe in the Eibishter. So we're going to believe in such a concept. And we find it. I just even recently read a story. It was a woman named Miriam Goodman. And she wrote up a story about her own son and how she was in Eretz Yisrael, and her young son got sick. Nothing so major, but it's like he was had flu-like symptoms for a while. And they didn't go away. Went to the doctor, and they didn't figure anything out. And they continued for a week, for 2 weeks, for 3 weeks, mamish, and went to another doctor, to a specialist. They're running tests. They can't figure out anything, and he's continuously just not well. And eventually, they say, "Well, we have to get the mezuzahs checked." And they get the mezuzahs checked, and the mezuzah of they didn't tell the sofer anything. They just got all the mezuzahs checked. And the sofer says to them before it says, "Do you have a child who's sick?" He says, "What do you mean? How would you know that?" He says, "Because one of the mezuzahs had in it that it was possible in a way that two of the words that should have been whatever they were read a sick son or a sick child." That's how the mezuzah read. And Kachave, of course, it was the mezuzah of that boy's room. And they got the mezuzah fixed. Mamish, the next day he was well again. He was fine. Mamish, the next day. Does that make any sense to any of us? It's not that it makes sense. It makes sense because it's the Eibishter. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And this is our avoda. And l'maisa, that's how we defeat Amalek, and that's what Amalek is. That's the opposite. That I have to understand every little thing in my life. When I have a Rabbeinu Shalom, I understand everything. It's the Rabbeinu Shalom. I don't need to understand anything more. And the whole story of the Megillah is teaching us this. Wake up and just pay attention. Just open up our eyes for one moment. The entire story of the Megillah is only teaching us this one lesson. You see, Esther Hamalka, she's taking this beautiful Jewish girl and she's raped by a Goyish king, and it looks like the worst thing in the world and we can't understand. And one who doesn't understand Rabbeinu Shalom is completely besuffic, is destroyed. But yeah, Rabbeinu Shalom runs the world, and by the end of the story we see it saves all of Klal Yisrael, and we're only here today because of it. Big Son and Seresh, this whole strange episode in the middle, we don't know what's going on there. It's time after time. Makes any sense that the king would kill Vashti because one person says you should kill Vashti? None of it makes any sense. It doesn't make any sense. He was only the king because of Vashti. Vashti was the royalty. She was the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. Achashverosh was a nothing. He's gonna go kill his queen. None of it makes sense. But the Rabbeinu Shlom's orchestrating every step of the way, and we have to believe that always and understand that always. And when we understand that and we put the Rabbeinu Shlom above our head, it's all good. That's the greatest simcha. That's the greatest joy. And maybe that's really what it means. We started off by quoting Minchas Elazar, HaKoyreyes HaMegillah L'mafreya Lo Yatza. If you read the Megillah out of order, you're not Yotze. We gave one pshat Piron. But maybe what it's saying is as follows. If you read the Megillah, and you have to read it out of order, meaning what? I have to wait until the end and then look back and see that it was all good. You're not Yotze. Meaning it's easy to go and say retroactively, oh, now that I got the end, let me go back to the beginning and it all makes sense. It's easy to live life like that. But if you're only going to live like that, the Rabbeinu Shalom is lo yatze. The Rabbeinu Shalom says, I want you to live in the moment it's already good. I want you to understand there's a bigger picture. And right now, even though I don't understand why, but I do understand why. You know why? It's Eibishter, it's the Rabbeinu Shalom, it's all good. And therefore, Akoyer Lemafrei, if you need to go and look back and Keshbin everything, Lo Yatze, that's not what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants from you. It's not what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants from us. The night of the Seder, and we know Purim and Pesach are very interconnected. In fact, by the way, if you open up the Gemara in Tainus Chaf Testament Aleph, and you look where that statement, that famous statement that we're going to sing about nonstop, we started singing about, Mishenichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha, that statement, Rashi there says, where does the simcha come from? The simcha of Adar? Minisim shel? From the miracles of Purim u'Pesach. Very interesting, Rashi. Last time I checked, Pesach's in Nisan. It's not an Adar. Mishenichnas Adar marbim b'simcha. We enhance our simcha and Adar because of the miracles of Purim and Pesach. Obviously, Purim and Pesach are very interconnected. And these lessons can be seen in Pesach as well. And I want to show one place. You know, the night of the Seder, one of the exciting things we're going to read about, always we get excited, the Dalet Banim, the four sons. One of the sons is the Chacham, and that's obviously the one we look at as the Talmud Chacham and the Tzaddik. And one of them is a Tam, a very simple person, a person who doesn't understand much. And all their questions are found in the Torah already. So if you listen, the question of the Chacham is, Ma ha'edus v'achukim v'amishpatim, it starts with, Ki yishalcha bincha machar lemer, when your son asks you, Ma ha'edus v'achukim v'amishpatim, what are all these laws, decrees, rules, ashartiv Hashem elokeinu eschem, that Hashem has commanded us? What are all these rules about? Now the Tam just says it a lot more simply. The Tam just says, yishalcha bincha mazos, what is this? Now, if you're just focusing on the way the question's asked, okay, shkoyach, so the Chacham asked it a little more intensely, but ultimately they're asking the same question. What are all these laws about? What is this? The difference in Chacham and the Tam is as follows. The Chacham saying, what is everything about? Meaning, what is the Chukm HaShvat? I understand there's a way bigger picture there. I understand that the only time I'll understand if I see the entire picture. And without it, it's impossible to understand, and therefore I just have to have a Muna Bashem. The Tam, someone who's very simple, says, Mazos, what is this right now? This. What is this? I want to know what this is. That's a Tam, that's a simple individual. That we're never going to know. That's going to be too difficult. We don't know what this is. Because this is only in the middle, you know, it's imagine like this. Imagine you're watching a movie. Not that anyone here watches movies, right? Nobody watches movies, but imagine you were watching. Just imagine. You have to have dimyonis. In life, it's very important to imagine. We have to imagine the Rabbeinu Shalom, even though we know he's in this room, but we have to imagine it sometimes. There's in Epcot Center, they have that ride. I don't know if they still have the ride. It's been a few years and I've been there. Imagination with that purple dinosaur, you know what I'm talking about? I always ask Cheshbon how important that is. It's important to have dimyonis, to be able to imagine, to understand. You know what I'm talking about? No?
Are you talking about Barney?
No, not Barney. Not Barney. In Disney World, in Epcot Center. Okay, if you... Anyways, it was a... Yeah. Also, maybe. So imagine, you have to imagine you were once upon a time, maybe in our... Back in... Earlier in our days, we once maybe saw a movie. And so imagine you saw a movie and you're watching this movie. And you walked into a room, the movie was going on already for a while. And you walk in and you just see a 5-minute scene. And you walk in, you see this man walk into a bedroom. And he walks into the bedroom and there are two people sleeping in the bed. Two men sleeping in the bed. Two men, you know, maybe brothers, you don't know what the scene is. You just see this man walk in and kill both of them. Kill both of them. Murder them. And then he walks out and he runs away. And basically, that's the only. Then you leave the room. That's all you see. You only see that scene. So you're thinking, "Wow, that's a Rasha Gomer. He's a murderer. He's a terrible person. I can't believe that person." But meanwhile, you didn't see the scene before. So you didn't see that earlier. Those two individuals went into that man's house and killed his kids. And the Chvesnesh did. I know it sounds a little gory, but Lemaisa, you hear what I'm going with it. Meaning, you didn't see what happened before. You don't know why he's doing that. And you don't know what's happening afterwards. So you see just the moment, and you're judging it in the moment. You're saying, Zos, this, right now, I know it all. There's a big picture to the world. There's a lot that happened for the last 5,777 years. And this is going to happen for the next many years until Mashiach Kano and beyond. That's what the Chacham understands. He says, I understand that we don't always understand. A Tam, a simple person, says, Ma Zos. And then life could be very confusing. And life could be full of Safek, and that's the world of Amalek, and that's the world of Haman. And our avoda is to see the world much bigger than that. Our avoda is to see that the Rabbeinu Shalom says, I understand that I don't understand. Zehu, and it's all good. And the more I do also understand on that side, after I accept that, is very beautiful. And then if I understand some Tameh Mitzvos, which Tameh Mitzvos doesn't mean the reason in the Mitzvos, but Rav Sanzer Vol Hirsch says very beautiful, Ta'am is a taste. Just a little taste. The taste is a drop of it. There's so much bigger to it. And then even more so, very beautiful. You know, one time the Heilige Ramban, he had a Talmud, he had a student that was very, very sick. He was ill. And eventually he continued to get more sick. And And he hit a point where he was considered a gosis. He was mamish, he was physically on some level alive, but it was clear that very soon he was going to die. There was no, they gave up hope pretty much, misyayish. The Ramban, and this is obviously for deep Kabbalistic tzaddikim to understand, but the Ramban took a piece of paper and he wrote a whole note asking the Rabbono Shalom, why did this Talmud was a very special Talmud, a young Talmud, full of midos, full of chachma, full of tzidkus, full of everything. He writes a whole note to the Rabbono Shalom, asking the Rabbono Shalom, why did this happen? Why did this happen? And why are these sorrows happening to Klal Yisrael? Why is so much pain and suffering? And he writes this whole note. And he takes a note and he folds it up. And he goes over to his Talmud, this Goses before, and he puts it into his hand. That he should take it with him to the Olam HaEmes. That he should take it with him to the next world and show it to the Rabbono Shalom. And come back to the Ramban in a dream. And Kachave was that day that he passed away. And he was buried holding this note. And it was a few days later, the Ramban was sleeping and had a chalom, had a dream. And this Talmud came to him in the dream and he said, I got up to the Olam HaEmes, I'm in the next world. And I had the note with me, I was looking all over and I was going to find a big malach, the Ribbono Shel himself, to ask him the question, get the answer, but I have to tell you something. That was my plan. But once I got up here to the Olam HaEmes, once I got up to the next world, I no longer could get you any answers because there were no more questions. There were no more questions. They all fell to the side. Because from that world, we could see the before and the after and the big picture. There are no more questions. We have to understand that Kari Amagila Mafreya Lo Yatsa, we have to believe that even in the moment, not have to wait to the end. There are no questions when you have Emunah B'Hashem. There are no questions when it's so clear that there's an Eibishter in the world, running the world. Then there are no more questions. You know, there's an interesting, the first words of Maseches Megillah, the very first words, says as follows. Megillah Nikreis, the Megillah could be read, Be'ech B'chadasar on the 11th day of Adar, B'shneimasar on the 12th day of Adar, B'shloshasar on the 13th day of Adar, Ba'arba'asar on the 14th day of Adar, B'chamishasar on the 15th day of Adar. Lo pachos v'lo yoser, no less and no more, meaning not prior to the 11th, not post the 15th. Now again, this is a little bit, the Gemara goes in and explains, obviously we read it on the 14th, we understand that Shushan Purim's on the 15th, nobody reads it anymore on the 11th, 12th, and 13th, but there used to be a time when people were traveling and it was more convenient, not to get into halachas, that they could even move up the date to read the Megillah 11th, 12th, or 13th. Those words, lo pachos v'lo yoser, are superfluous, are completely extra. Once we're going to go through and the Mishnah is going to tell us, the Megillah could be read 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th. Obviously, if it's going out of its way and it's telling us these five dates, no other dates are good, right? We don't need to tell us. Now, what's lo pachos v'lo yoser? It's emphasizing something to us about those days that we can't do, something strong. What's lo pachos v'lo yoser would be what? The 10th and the 16th. If we start from the 11th, what the day before is the 10th, the one after the 16th. Keep that in mind and let's follow this. Anyone good at math here? It's not going to be so difficult, don't worry. If you add up the days that you could read the Megillah, the days of 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. That was quick, that was good. 11 plus 12 plus 13 plus 14 plus 15 is exactly 65. If you add up the days that surround it, the 10th and the 16th, that's a little easier, hopefully we all could do that one, 26. So you know what the Torah is telling us, you know what the Mishnah is telling us? The days we could read the Megillah, 65, adds up to 65. 65 is exactly Gematra, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. Hashem of Adon, Adon, as our master. The days where we're not supposed to be reading the Megillah add up to 26, which is Shem Havaya, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. Meaning what? The name of Adoshem, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, represents God of Master of the World, the master of the world, which represents din, represents judgment, where he's not so clear that he's merciful, not so clear that we understand everything. Yud Kei Vav Kei is the name of mercy, of rachamim, of peace, of beauty. Specifically, we read the Megillahs on the days of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, to tell us when the Ribbono Shel doesn't seem so clear, that's when I want you to understand there's a Megillah Esther. That's when I want to understand there's HaMelech. There's a king that's ruling, that's orchestrating every step of the way. And then you'll know it's all so Havaya, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. As the Mezuzah tells us again. Hashem Elokeinu, that Hashem of Elokeinu is also Hashem Echad. He's also the same Hashem. But I don't want you to read it on Days of That, because that you already know. That's easy. I want you to see through the whole entire story of Purim that there's an Abishter that's running the world every step of the way, whether we understand it or we don't understand. And that's our Avodah. And that's Mishenechaz Adam Barim B'Simcha. And that's how we defeat Amalek, the Suffolk of Amalek. And that's the greatest Simcha in the world. The greatest Simcha of the world is understanding that Hashem is in my life every moment, in the good times and what we perceive as the not so good times. You know, the Vilna Goyin, the Goyin, Rav Eliyahu Mevilna, the Gra, when he needed chizik in life, he'd pull out a Megillas Esther and read it. That was his chizik. Because the chizik of life is just to see Hashem is by our side every moment, even when it's not so clear. And that's the story of Purim. In Yiddish, there are two words that are very similar and have opposite meanings. There's one word, gewald. Gewald means it's bad, it's not good. Oy, gewald. And then there's a word, gewaldig. You've all heard this before, right? Gewaldig means it's amazing, it's awesome. Again, gewald is like it's terrible. Oy, gewald, mamish. Gewaldig is amazing. What's the difference between gewald and gewaldig? It's just adding a yud gimel at the end. Gewald, is there the same exact letters in Yiddish? You add a yud gimel. You add the letter yud and gimel, it turns gewald into gewaldig. Yud gimel is gematria 13. Exactly, gematria echad. One. Because Hashem echad, Shema Yisrael, Hashem echad, Hashem echad. When you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu by your side, when you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything, even that which you perceive as gewald is gewaldig. And we have to understand this, but to believe that. And we have to understand that we don't understand. We have to understand that I don't know everything. And that's when I'll always be besimcha in every moment of life. And that's how we could sit here tonight and, in a certain sense, not mourn, but celebrate a yahrzeit. A yahrzeit, you'd think a yahrzeit should be pain and suffering, but we're sitting and learning Torah and growing. Because even though I don't understand, I know this is emes, and I know it's the Rabbonu Shalom, and I know somehow this is good, and some of the Rabbonu Shalom wants us to be. And that's every single situation as a yid. With the Rabbonu Shalom by my side. Gam keilch b'geis amavaz l'yira ki ati imadi. Hashem is by my side. It's all good. I have to understand. I don't understand. And that's what we come to in Purim. What's the strangest halach of Purim? Is that we have to drink and get drunk. And we're not going to talk about that part of it. But what till what point? Chayev inish l'psumei v'puria. You're obligated to get drunk on Purim. Ad lo yada. Until you don't know. Ben baruch mordechai l'ar haman. You ever think about that? It's one of the craziest halachas you ever heard. We're supposed to reach a point in life, the chas v'shalom, say, Baruch Haman? Yay, Baruch Haman. Let's say, Arur Mordechai. Is that what the Rabbonu Shalom wants? Because that's what it says, right? It's a Gemara Megillah of Zion and Beis. It's not some made-up song. It's a Gemara. It's paskind in the Mechaber and the Shulchan Aruch. You're supposed to hit such a point in life. You know what Baruch Mordechai is? Baruch Mordechai is everything good in this world, all bracha. Arur Haman is everything that's very difficult, all klal in the world. We hit a point in Purim, Adelo Yada Bein Baruch Mordechai Haman, till I don't know any difference between the two. Everything that I perceive as bracha, of course, is Yad Hashem, it's amazing. And everything that I perceive as klala, it's also Yad Hashem, so it's all good. Adelo Yada Bein, I don't know anything between them. It's all the hand of God. And that's what we have to come to. Adelo Yada, I don't know. But I know it's all good. So Bez Hashem is Baruch, we should be Zoicha. We should be Zoicha as we prepare for Purim, to not just have a nice time on Purim, but to connect to the essence of Purim, to understand what it is to defeat Amalek, what it is to understand the suffix in our life, the doubt in our life, to accept and have the proper Emunah Hashem every moment of life. And then we'll be Zoicha that Mishenichnas Adar Marben B'Simcha will not just be for Adar, but will continue to Nisan, continue to every single aspect of our life. Until we're Zoyche to Mashiach Zidkeinu with the Tchis HaMeisim that we're waiting to be reconnected with all the Heiliger Neshamas that we're missing. Mashiach Zidkeinu b'mehera b'yameinu. Heiliger Shabbos Kodesh, and Gvaldik HaBurim b'Ezras Hashem.